Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome, Jan.
Welcome, Iggy.
Welcome to Iggy Garcia and Jan Keevan, My Sage Plays Radio. And I think we've got a new name for the show, don't we?
It's My Sage Presents Revelations in Revelry.
Sounds like a musical.
Kind of fun. Revelry is fun. Yeah. Revelations, who knows what we're going to come up with.
Sounds like
it's always something new and exciting.
So how you doing? I heard you had a pretty rough week this week.
I did have a really rough week this week. I forgot to listen.
Yeah.
Listen to my body. Listen to my brain.
What's that mean?
I call it the still small voice that we have, that we're born with, you know, mm-hmm. that still small voice. And it always tells us, it's our intuition, it's our, you know, it's our nature. That butterfly feeling you get, or that feeling that says, whoa, don't go around that corner, something bad's out, you know,
yeah.
waiting. And so, to make long story short, I cut myself, and that still small voice just simply said, how long since your last tetanus shot?
Where did you cut yourself?
In my finger.
In your finger, okay.
Yeah. And then I kind of ignored it because I thought, it has only been a few years ago, you know, mm-hmm. it's still good. And it kept bleeding, and, you know, I didn't quit. I just kept working and working.
Okay.
And then a few days later, I stabbed myself in the leg with a drill bit. I know, me and tools, that's what she said. And then that thing went through my head, when was your last tetanus shot?
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I ignored it. And then I went to have his ear pierced. You know, I've had him pierced for, you know, a long time, 50-some years.
Mm-hmm.
But one grew in, grew over.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do that, and it did that. And I wasn't real comfortable with the people doing it because it didn't seem real sterile or, you know.
Right.
But I did it anyhow.
Okay.
And then, to make a long story short, my earlobe swelled up. It looked like I had one of those, if you know what a rutabaga is.
Wow.
If you don't, you should look it up because they're really
kind of big.
Great vegetable, but nonetheless.
It's not pretty, on the side of your head.
Pretty gross looking, and it was just hanging there. And then I was very tired. I did not feel well. I had a headache that was unbelievably painful.
Wow.
Excruciatingly painful. I mean, I've never felt a headache like that, and I've had a stroke. Never felt a headache like that.
Wow.
And went to sleep and woke up with my lymph nodes the size of mumps.
Jeez.
All the way down, you know, under my arms, you know, how your lymph nodes, if you don't, you should look it up and see where your lymph nodes are.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, don't ever press on your lymph nodes real hard because they're not designed for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was in trouble. So I immediately went to, you know, urgent care and said, please hit me up with a tetanus shot. And
yeah.
Then when we looked it up, what I thought was about 6 years ago was about 11 or 12 years ago.
Wow.
And so tetanus is nothing to play with. My grandfather died of lockjaw. He died of tetanus at too early of an age, too young. And that still small voice, not that I had tetanus, but I was on my way. I was on my way.
Yeah.
You can't swell up like that and have that kind of a headache.
No.
And, well, so I had a fever, really high fever, and, you know, real stiffness, and it was ugly. It was really ugly. So, yeah, thanks for asking. I'm not up to par, but...
If she passes out, the feed will end.
He's here. It's okay.
We call 911.
Yeah. But just tell him, keep going. She'll come back.
Yeah.
She'll come back.
Yeah.
I'm not exiting like this, that's for sure. But it does remind you to listen to that still small voice. It's extremely important. You know, it tells us everything.
Mm-hmm.
It tells us everything. And we have to learn to listen.
Yeah.
And not only, I heard it. I truly heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening.
Right.
I didn't mind. I didn't do what I was being told to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I wrote this down, Iggy. That's squandering my huge portion.
There you go.
I said that months ago, you know, to somebody. I think I wrote a whole story on it, and I said, you know, you do not squander your huge portion. We have huge portions.
Wow.
Huge portions of love and huge portions of insight and all that wonderful, you know, wonderful stuff. And And here we are.
Yeah.
Not listening. And what a shame, because I know better.
This is true. You know, that voice, we all have that voice in our head that kind of tells you something, or, you know, sometimes people don't understand it. Like someone else, like you have the voice. If I had my voice in my head, other people wouldn't understand what that's about. But, you know, I would have to say sometimes you probably should follow your intuition when you get that that little inkling. I've been in those situations where I've, like, waited to leave or drive somewhere because I just got this feeling or whatever, and I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so follow that voice, because that voice is very powerful. That voice will keep you out of trouble.
It always does. You know, if you're driving, even driving down the road, it's happened to me so many times, and you think, you know, I think I'm just going to turn here. You know, go ahead and turn there.
Yeah.
Because that came to you for a reason. I always call it, I zigged when I should have zagged.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important to always do.
Yeah.
Even if you make a mistake, let's say you got off on the wrong exit, be glad that you zigged instead of zagged, because I'm sure that whatever reason, you know, drove you to get off at the wrong exit was a blessing. It was a big blessing in disguise. They're all blessings.
I think it's important that you follow that voice, because that voice is, and you know, and sometimes you get stuck in traffic and some things happen to you. Sometimes there's a reason for that, and we can't really, it's easy to judge it and you know, and kind of get pissed off about it. Oh, I have to be somewhere, blah, 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 you know, and you've had to be somewhere. And sometimes, you know what, doesn't bother me so much anymore.
No.
I've had some good friends who've taught me along the way, you know, that, you know, sometimes, especially my dad, but I was like, we're not in a hurry. We'll get there when we get there, you know, there's no, because he lives with that. He lives with that kind of motto too, that, you know, we'll arrive when we need to arrive, not necessarily the other way, which is good.
And we tax our bodies by always doing that.
Oh yeah.
You know, our adrenal glands are designed, you know, to hold that stress, you know, when we get, you know, really stressed out. And so, if you really stop and think about, now I'm going to get mathematical on you again.
Okay. Bring on the math.
So physics just tells us, you know, if you go 60 miles per hour, you're going to drive 60 miles in 1 hour. That's pretty reasonable, right?
That's what?
Just math.
Right.
But so you're in all this traffic and you're zigzagging and you're tense and it's like, you know, and you're driving fast and you might be going 61 or 62, but now you're a mess because you have your adrenal glands on fire.
Right.
You know, the adrenaline's flowing, the dopamine's flowing, you know, you've got yourself all in a fluster, and you get up to that red light and you slam on those brakes, and the three people that you passed are in line right beside you. 1, 2, 3.
You know, I see it every time.
Every time. It works.
It doesn't matter how fast you go. Yeah, maybe you get lucky and get across the red light. But most of the time, I've noticed that someone who's passed me, and then I get up to the line, I'm like, hey, what's up?
I know.
And then they get pissed off.
How do you feel? Because I didn't go through all that, and I'm still feeling pretty relaxed.
Just blowing a little more gas than I did, didn't you? Okay, that's about it.
I know. I love it.
Yeah, but
yeah,
that's life. You know, life is like that.
It is indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to share with people that on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday, we have something called Fireside Meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we do drumming and healing events and lots of things that we're going to do. But last night we had a really awesome
group of people.
And, you know, Spirit always brings together the people that are needed at that particular moment. And and one of the themes, it seemed to be, was abuse, you know, pain. People had experienced pain or abusiveness in their life.
Okay.
And although they were older, they were still trying to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would get triggered. That, you know, we think we let all those things go, including myself. I mean, I'm pretty healthy in that department. And we think that we, you know, let ourselves heal and it's all done. But then somebody will say something, or I'll smell something or there's a situation, I'm triggered all over again.
Right.
And that's hard. And you probably are the same way. We're all like that, that have been hurt or, you know, we get triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to learn how to change or modify our behavior. I don't necessarily think we change our behaviors, but I do believe that we can modify them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we don't live with so much triggered, knee-jerk reaction to situations, so that we can remain calm and see it for what it is. It is nothing more than a trigger. It has no power over us. We need to be mellow in that, and we need to be thankful that we recognize that whatever that was no longer can do anything to us but what we allow it to do.
But it feels real for people.
it
feels real. That's why they get caught in that emotion. Yeah. I know I got caught in emotion. Mm-hmm. It's because, and it's fear, it's a whole bunch of other stuff. But we're caught in that emotion, then we can't navigate out of it. We're stuck in the story.
We are.
The story becomes very powerful. The story becomes very prominent. Because then we start to play the game of, well, what ifs?
Yeah.
What if I did this? What if I do that? If I don't do this, if I do that. Mm-hmm. Then we just spend so much time in kind of a limbo.
And we're always a victim.
Yeah. It's a limbo of the mind.
Right.
You're in this limbo. And all of a sudden, you can't navigate, because the only thing you see is all the things that aren't going to work out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not intentional. It just is.
Oh,
right. I can't move on because if I do, then this will happen. Mm-hmm. If I don't go over here, then this happens. I catch myself doing it sometimes.
I think we all do. I think it's just as part of being human, which, you know, mm-hmm. is not easy for any of us.
Sure.
But I still go back to, we have to always be working on ourselves, mm-hmm. on ourselves to let go and learn different ways to cope.
Mm-hmm.
Dip tools in our toolbox once
That's
again.
Right. Tools in our toolbox.
You know, tools in our toolbox. Tools in our toolbox, by the way. You know, that was a great show you did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on Monday night. Mm-hmm. And it was about tools in the toolbox. And, you know, maybe if y'all heard it, sorry. But for those of you who didn't, you ought to go back and listen to the show. It was an excellent, excellent topic. Tools in our toolbox. And one of the things that that somebody asked me, you know, I understand different modalities, you know,
mm-hmm.
but so, okay, so I learn all these and have all these tools in my toolbox.
Right.
And then I realized that she didn't have the fundamentals of the tools in the toolbox.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's fundamentals. And tools in your toolbox can actually mean get up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
brush your teeth, take a shower, get ready, go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Those are tools, actual tools in your toolbox
right.
to make you function in life. And sometimes we have to be that basic.
Mm-hmm.
Our tools have to be primary tools, you know,
mm-hmm.
the hammer, you know, the screwdriver, the pliers, you know, very basic, you know, your first set of tools.
And make sure the toilet paper is on the roll before you sit there.
Exactly, you know.
I don't know how many people sit there.
Oh,
can you help? I need some toilet paper.
And then there's nobody there.
Oh, there's no one there. Then you're going, should I get up?
But nobody will know.
That's right.
You or not.
Only you would know.
Except we all think about if there's angels always watching us.
At that moment is when you think everybody's psychic.
I know.
At that moment, you're like,
I know.
I wonder if they knew that I was not a...
Isn't that funny? Because I always think, oh, wow, they can see me doing this.
That's so funny.
Oh, well, I hope they have a good laugh. Oh, mercy.
Well, the reason I did that show on Monday, mm-hmm. on the Naked Shaman show that I have on Monday, Iggy Garcia Live, is because I've had people ask me that question, too, about just having, like you just said, so what does it mean to be this, to be that? Are you just a shaman? Do you just do that? And I said, no, I have different things in my toolbox.
Right.
Some tools I may never use.
Mm-hmm.
Some things are in there. And then sometimes I may use the same tool over and mm-hmm. over, you know. And we're talking about modalities usually, and when we're referring to that.
Right.
And so there's times where you don't use the bandsaw. There's times when you don't mm-hmm. use the pliers. But they're there in case you need them.
Right.
So you have that information inside your heart, inside your mm-hmm. head. And you're ready for whenever. And then sometimes you can incorporate them, too, just because it mm-hmm. helps flow the energy as well. So,
right.
You know,
it also makes you aware enough.
Yes.
I mean, to me, I have lots of tools now in my toolbox that I've learned over the years, and but I'm really good at a lot of them. But it also has taught me to be able to understand somebody and their need and say, you know, I have a lot of tools in my tool belt, but I have a practitioner that I know that has tools in his tool belt or her tool belt that would, they're the tools that you need right now.
Right.
Mine can take you to here, but these would be better tools for you. And to be able to recognize that and send that person to the right doctor, practitioner, or helper is really important. And that's developing your tools.
Right.
That's part of tools in your toolbox. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's like
it was a great show.
It kind of goes along with the other show I've done in the past, was about going to the store and shopping.
Right.
You just take what you need versus take everything.
Right.
I know we all want to be sponges and absorb it all, but sometimes you don't necessarily need all that stuff.
You're right. Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Wow. So now we have a lull. Why do we have a lull? Because I'm tired and you're tired.
A lull.
A lull.
No, I'm just, you know, sometimes you're just thinking, you know, about that tool and what tool we're going to pull out next. Like last night when we were having the fireside
meditation chat,
whatever, where we hang out. It's cool to just to see the energy develop amongst the group, because some people are there with just open invitation to ask and just, you know, share and give me and I'll take it. And other people are kind of in between and they're like just checking it out, just smelling and kicking the tires. And other people are just drug in there because someone told them they had to come.
Right.
And their arms are crossed and they're looking at you or not looking at you or just looking the other direction.
They don't want to be anywhere
near. And they don't want anywhere near anybody. And that kind of happened last night. You know, where people were just in their own set of mind. And sometimes as a light worker or healer, whatever you want to call it, you know, quotation, air quotes, you know, you can become very fixated on one person and not even know it. And then not necessarily forget the rest of the people, but you're so compassionate about this one person to get it, that sometimes we get blindsided by the fact. We had one young person who was there, and they were just completely shut down. You know, they were completely shut down, and they
wanted to be anywhere but where they were.
Yeah, I mean, what person, you know, with their mom, wants to come with their mom and hang out?
Right.
Someone. But the cool thing was, little by little, since we've done the work, and we have the tools necessary to chip away a little bit of the stone or whatever, you know, and just... And by invitation and inviting them to that space, and by sharing your own personal story, I would have to say there was a bunch of different factors that helped unlock her a little bit. You know, not even the fact that they had the same name as my mom, you know, made it even more powerful. And just what I had to share, and I got pretty much naked shaman. You know, where you just let down you let down everything, and you just become unraveled and show that you're not above anybody. There's no station in the work we do. You know, that was what I was trying to say yesterday when we were talking about the gurus and stuff. In the work that I do, there's no station. There's just somebody who's there.
Right.
Because even from the students you learn.
Of course.
You know, and students learn from you and vice versa.
That's what I say all the time. Remember, I tell you, my kids teach me lots and lots and lots and lots.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though I'm the elder, but they're teaching me all the time.
Absolutely. So, just powerful.
And I think that's true. I mean, I'm still blessed to have parents living, and, you know, I listen to my mom and I think, wow, she has a lot of wisdom. She truly has a lot of wisdom. And on the other hand, I think that she does listen to a lot of the things that I say, because I talk all the time.
Okay.
I mean, I never shut up. And I think that she hears a lot of that, which is beautiful, because that's the same way I am with mine. You know, they teach me a lot.
And so, you know, I think the s'mores and the marshmallows.
That kind of helped.
That helped a lot, too.
That was fun. She found her. Yeah. Everybody liked those.
I liked them. done every day. You get the marshmallow s'mores.
So I have a little paper that I was going to share with people, if it's okay.
Sure.
And it sort of talks about the wounds and what it does inside of us. And this is my own personal story just to kind of set it up, you know, every now and then, like everybody listening and every soul out there, you know, we all have those moments, those aha moments, or those moments when we sit back and we ponder, or we reflect and we say, wow, you know, what was that about? And what do I do with it, you know, and how do I get rid of that hurt, and how do I do this, and how do I do that? And so one day, I don't know if y'all know what a swan dive is. There, thanks, Iggy. A swan dive is if you just picture your arms, for those on the radio, picture your arms, you know, straight out by your sides, you know, 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock.
And you go, cowabunga.
And yeah, cowabunga is it. And off you go. And it's a swan dive. It actually is a beautiful, beautiful dive for those that are good at it. So I named this my swan dive because that's just kind of how I felt when I looked in the mirror one day. So I will share this with y'all. I just took a swan dive when I looked in the mirror. Strange, but not really to me. How some things just suddenly find their way to the forefront of your mind. As I was gracefully diving into the very depths of me, I saw all these bricks and mortar that I had placed in the wounds of my heart and soul. So many bricks that it seemed very dark inside of me. And then I saw a sliver of light, the kind you see when the sun finds a crack in the blind. And sneaks through while the dust particles sort of dance in the rays. This sliver of light didn't have dancing dust, but it did have what I called godly glitter, just really beautiful glitter. As a movement in the corner of my eye caught my attention, and then it was gone before I saw what it was. But in its wake, it left a hammer and a chisel. And I picked them up, admiring their beauty. They were light in my hand and so beautiful, and I couldn't imagine using them for real work. But, I couldn't imagine using them for real work, but there with me in my swan dive were these spiritual creatures, and they were urging me to use the tools to unseat the bricks. Now, this chisel and hammer were so beautiful, I kid you not. They were gilded in gold and lapis with a ruby handle. Can you imagine? I mean, just absolutely gems. They were full of gemstones. So I was being urged to use these tools to unseat these bricks. I picked up the hammer, and in a mighty blow, I struck a brick. It started to crack, and in came the most beautiful living light. Again, a flicker out of the corner of my eye, and I turned, and I saw a message where the godly glitter floated in the light. And the message said, wounds are where the light comes in. Never seal them off again. And so I started frantically to chip away at the mortar in between those bricks very fast. This is not going to be a quick task, a voice laughingly said. You will cry, sweat, doubt, and scream, but you will. I will. My will. The bricks are going. And that is my new message. Wounds are where the light comes in. I'm never going to seal them off again. And I share that with you, kind of a corny thing in a way. But it was literally my revelation. This is revelation revelry. Fun in revelations. But it was my epiphany, my revelation of saying, stop putting those bricks and that mortar in there. You're making yourself dark in there. You're not allowing the light to shine through, and you're a keeper of the light.
Right.
So the more we allow that pain and hurt, the more we wall off from pain and hurt, the darker it's going to get in us.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So,
Did you write that?
Yes, I wrote that in 2015.
Good. That's the original piece.
It is indeed. It is indeed. I actually wrote it for everybody, and I just said, you know, love and peace to everybody, and feel free to use my hammer and chisel for yourself. I truly would do that exercise in yourself, you know, chip away at those bricks. And forgiveness is always underrated in my book.
Yeah, because for some people, forgiveness is a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is and why they would think that is. I think it's...
I think it takes great courage.
I think what happens is men have a hard time forgiving. I mean, everybody does.
Yeah.
But I think men feel like they have to bust through it and work through it. Not, you know, and just to forgive somebody is difficult.
It's really interesting to me.
You know, because then you feel like you're giving pieces of yourself away. So if I forgive you or forgive me, you know,
you're a schmuck.
No, I'm not saying that's an old version of me would say, you know, would be like, well, I don't know. What do I need forgiveness for? I didn't do anything wrong, you know?
Oh, okay.
You know, from my vantage point.
Mm-hmm.
But then forgiveness is just really, the forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's actually about forgiveness for
right,
yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think what happens is some people don't have, they have shame and embarrassment and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that they're not willing to raise to heal those parts. Because when you have to forgive yourself, you have to be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be true with yourself.
Yeah.
And if you can't be honest and true with yourself, mm-hmm. it's hard to forgive.
You're right. Shame's no longer in my vocabulary.
Yeah. Well, but
won't have it.
But it's in our. But it's in the people that we work with.
I know.
Vocabulary. So it's something. It's something that we have to remember.
I just me personally.
Yes.
I'm done with that word.
Yes.
You know, my past is definitely very colorful, to say the least.
That's another show.
Yeah, it's a colorful past. We all have them.
We all have colorful pasts.
And I'm not wearing that shame flag anymore, that mm-hmm. scarlet, you know, letter anymore. I'm not wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mine. It is not
mm-hmm.
mine. And it's not yours. It's not anybody's.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to just learn to let that one go because it is not healthy.
No, it's true. You're right.
And that those bricks and mortar are also in there because we feel guilt and we feel shame. We haven't forgiven ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
Well, we haven't. Most of us haven't had really good teachers teaching us how to forgive, or how to forgive others, or move into a better place. Some of us are fortunate that we did have good teachers, like parents or grandparents,
mm-hmm.
who taught us some really amazing things. But a lot of us run around on this planet without the proper guidance because we had adult kids raising children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never really grew up. But just this pattern just keeps going. So you have these children raising children, basically,
mm-hmm.
what it points down to.
I kind of was like that. I mean,
I was a child raising a child.
Exactly.
You know, I wasn't any more mature than what I thought
mm-hmm.
I was. I sure thought I was the shit, though, you know. Because I was raising a kid, you know, but that's not being adult-like, but many of us are wearing the child suit, you know.
I just think I had the emotional maturity of a really young child, even in my 20s.
Sure.
Maybe even in my 30s. I think my emotional maturity was so immature, so stunted,
mm-hmm.
you know, and learning to overcome that is not an easy task.
Mm-hmm.
Not an easy task at all.
So we do have a question in the chat room.
Sure.
Okay. And we, Lily is asking, how do I move on from being raped at 5 years old? How do you forgive that?
You know, Lily, you know, it's so difficult for me to even hear that because I am so, so very sorry that you had to experience something like that in your lifetime. So just let me say that first. I'm sure we
mm-hmm.
both feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should ever have to experience something so horrific at such a young age.
Right.
Not only traumatic to you emotionally, but physically. We won't even go there today. How do you let go of that and how do you forgive? First of all, I would have to tell you that you have to love the person that you see in the mirror. You have to love you, yourself, Lily. When you look in the mirror, you have to love that person with all of your heart, and you're not there yet. And I want you to learn how to get there. And I don't know where you're calling from, but if you're close to us, if you're around Columbus, Ohio, you can always come and get work done. you can you know, contact me. You can contact Iggy. There's a lot of places that we can help you work through that. I work with human trafficking victims and a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder, which I'm sure that you have, if you haven't been already treated for it. So what does that have to do with forgiveness? Well, it has to do with you. You have to be able to work through it so that that trauma has no power over you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that happened. It's like stubbing your toe.
Mm-hmm.
You stubbed your toe. It happened. Now, you're going to remember, you know, the pain of stubbing your toe. That's not going to go away. But the emotional part of stubbing your toe, you can let go. And you can say, well, it happened, but it has no power over me anymore. The pain is gone. You know, the emotional pain, I can get some help with, some more help with to allow it, you know, to go. So I learned what to do with it so I can give it back to God or give it back to the universe or give it back to whatever, because it's not serving you anymore. And to forgive the person who committed such a horrific act against you, I'm not really sure you have to, in a way. Okay. This is a really strange response, and I know you'll have yours, because we often say we should forgive everybody. But I'm not sure that you actually have to say, well, I forgive you for what you did. Sometimes it's okay just to say, I'm sorry that you were so sick that you committed such a horrific act against me. I'm sorry for that. But that's on you. That is not on me. And be done with it. Because that person literally is going to have to live with that forever. And I don't mean just in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't. And boy, I hope that helped you a little bit.
Yeah,
what a beautiful woman.
And she said it continues. So she was 13. She was at the drum circle on last Saturday. Was it last Saturday? Yeah, last Saturday. She was there. But
you come and get help, Lily.
Yeah, it's you know, we can sit here and throw you a bunch of stuff, but you still have to live with whatever you're feeling.
You have to do the work.
And so at some point, I'm only going to use me as an example, because sometimes I think people need to see other people who I was a rape person at 13 to 14 for a couple years. That was just going on in my house. But as I seeked out help as I got older, because I didn't do it when I was in high school, because I was just too angry. I was too mad.
Of course.
As a young adult. And then finally I met some people who I had confidence in and trust them, and they coached me through things, and they let me see things from my point of view, what was lacking in my life, what was happening in my world. Okay, so it may sound kind of strange, it may sound kind of bizarre. So whatever I was responsible for, yeah, you may think a 5-year-old person doesn't have responsibility in the act, but we all have responsibility in some manner to speak up or not speak up. And even if we don't, not heard, we spoke up. Because it's easy, because I didn't speak up. And the reason I didn't speak up, because I was too embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to find out. I was ashamed, you know, and I was actually questioning my own sexuality.
Of course.
At that age. But then one day, you know, I just said, hey, I had enough. And, you know, I fought back. I said, this is it. I'm done. No more. And, you know, I struggled for many years as a teenager trying to figure out, you know, things.
Mm-hmm.
Became defiant and aloof and, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I played that all out. But then as I got into my 20s, I met people who said, you know what, we all want to be loved. It doesn't matter if you're 5, 13, 40, 50, 60. We all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. And so even the perpetrators who do this, somehow they lack love, and they just do it in a really messed up way, okay, which is not right at all. And I'm not protecting them, not saying that. And the forgiveness aspect is more about forgiving you for not, you know, being able to do anything, number one, forgiving that frozen part of you who's stuck in time, because this is what I'm listening, what I'm hearing is somebody's still stuck in time.
Of course.
Okay. How do you tell the version who you are right now, the person who you are right now,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to be okay, that I can protect you? I had to learn techniques in order to go back to myself at 13 and say, hey, little Iggy, this is 30-year-old whatever Iggy, and I want to let you know that, you know, we're I'm here to protect you, help you move along. Mm-hmm. Because that's what happens. We get frozen in time. We're stuck in time. We're stuck in memory. We're stuck in story. Some of us can't remember what happened last night. Okay, but yeah, but we can remember those traumatic stories because they're imprinted in our brain.
That's exactly right.
And they're imprinted. And even if you try to remember them, they're still different. But you can still rewrite. They taught me how to rewrite the story.
Mm-hmm.
They told me how to reshare the story and make it different, play it out differently. Now, anymore, the first thing that I learned for me personally is that I wasn't a victim anymore. Because I used to label myself. I caught myself being labeled.
Can you say that again?
I caught myself being the victim.
The victim.
Yeah. I caught myself being the victim for many years. And then I had to rewrite my story that I'm not being a victim. I didn't want to be victimized anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was tired of writing somebody else's, you know, psychological label that I had to play a victim in order to heal. And that's why I stopped that like immediately, and that's why I was able to move out because I don't want to carry that. I don't want to carry that banner.
Right.
I'm a victim of this because that's me personally. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my biggest draw, my biggest drive. That I just wanted to be normal. I wanted to be accepted, and I didn't really. It didn't. Now it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person passed away and died, whatever. I got closure. Not everybody gets closure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the closure was.
I love that story. Thank you. I don't love what happened to you, but I love that you had the courage to share that to try to help somebody. I would say that when you're five, you.
Well, here's what happens,
it's
Jan.
It's just really hard.
This is what happens, Jan. When you're 5 years old, you're innocent. You're playful. You're loving, you're hugging.
Sure.
You like to, you know, and that's what happens. People who do that kind of stuff to other people prey on that kind of energy. Okay? So what happens if you don't change that behavior to the sense where you have healthy limits and boundaries as an adult?
Right. No, I agree with all that.
You'll continue inviting that energy.
I just think that we have, and that's what happens. You have that arrested development.
Yes.
And so then you play those things out. A lot of times in your adult life, you know, I mean, a lot of us could attest to that.
Yeah, because you're angry, you're upset, and then the thing that will upset you the most is the same thing that keeps you in the same energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to figure out, okay, how do I heal 5-year-old version of me? How do I heal that person who was hurt? Well, you're going to have to go down there, you're going to have to go into that shamanic pit, and you're going to have to bring them up and hug them and tell them, you know what, that ain't happening to you ever again.
Mm-hmm.
That's never going to happen to you again. You're never going to be abused like that because, you know what, I'm here. I'm here to kick anybody's ass as even think they're close. Now the thing is, if you have children, you have to know the signs. You have to be aware. You have to be a little more protective. You have to be a little bit more on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to live, and you can't just always be on it. But this is one of those things you probably in private is probably a little better to talk about.
Sure.
But
and that's why I said, you know, contact one of us. You know, we'll send you wherever you need to go, or we'll help you whatever is proper.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And thank you for having the courage to ask the question.
Yeah, and I share that story because a lot of people don't think that happens to men. And that was the biggest thing because I was embarrassed because when I went to counseling, when I went to, you know, whatever I went to, groups, support groups, I was the only guy in there sometimes.
Of course.
And, you know, a lot of them were women or young women or whatever. And they look at me.
Yeah.
And they weren't sure, you know, why I was there. And,
I don't think a lot of women even think. I mean, I'm saying women, not even just girls.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't even think about men and rape. It just, they don't think about it. They do more probably in today's world, but even honestly 5 years ago, not until the #MeToo movement happened, I think did a lot of people ever think about the men.
Well,
I think it's a lot more prevalent than we
men in sports gets abused a lot.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of abuse in sports.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of abuse in dancing. There's a lot of abuse in fine
arts.
There's it's because we haven't learned to, for some of us, we haven't learned to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We're still stuck in that energy where we weren't loved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, because they weren't loved, that means they can't abuse. No, that's not my point. My point is we have to learn to love ourselves, you know, and it's difficult to love ourselves when we're in those positions, when we're feeling that way about ourselves. Because when we're a teenager, we're awkward. When we're little, we're awkward. You know, mm-hmm. It's a prime time.
Sure, it is. Okay, somebody call in and ask us something fun.
646-595-3440. That's the call-in number. So we do have some callers here, so we're going to take a caller here. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
How are you?
Oh, I got an echo. Hey.
Probably because you got your
speakers
on.
Do you guys hear an echo?
I don't hear an echo, but you might.
Okay, that's fine. I could deal with it.
What's going on?
I wanted to, if you guys can do a reading for me. Are you guys doing readings today?
Yeah, real brief, real popcorn-y.
Okay. Well, I've been teaching these classes, and now I feel antsy to start building up my private practice again. And I was just wondering as far as, like, how you see that developing, because I have, like, some anxieties around it. You know, you guys were talking about, like, being sort of stuck in a past time, and I'm kind of dealing with some things of fears and, you know, insecurities, stuff having to do with the past, the last time I built up my practice.
Am I asked what kind of practice you have?
So it had to do with spirituality, like healing work,
okay.
Psychic work.
Very good. Right off the bat, Spirit's telling me right now, boom, if you're going to go through the same pattern that you have, the same roadmap you're using, it's not going to work. You're going to have to develop a new system. You're going to have to go out and actually, you're going to have to mentor. You're going to have to ask for some mentorship here. Learn from other people who are doing the work that you're doing, that you would like to do, and see why they're successful and what they're doing. You'd be surprised what you'll learn doing this by, you know, exploring, by connecting yourself with somebody else. Sometimes practitioners in our business don't like to reach out because they think that our thing's unique or whatever. But the idea, Spirit saying, the idea is to learn how to navigate the waters, because there's always somebody else who's figured something out and they're willing to share. You might have to invest in some things. You might have to put your hand in the pocket and say, hey, I'm going to take this course, learn how to do this, because that's what all the great motivational speakers, the great teachers do. They go to each other's stuff and they learn from one another. If you have the same roadmap, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a little bit harder.
It's interesting because I reached out to somebody kind of in the same field that I admire that has gotten a lot of success, and I actually sort of been mulling this over because it's been very difficult to connect with, like, one of his coaches in order to see if this program is right for me. And I was just thinking of blowing it off because it's been a lot of emails back and forth and emails not getting delivered and, like, a lot of hassle. Like, I don't know, taking it as a sign of just, oh, this is not.
In business, any business, doesn't matter if holistic, restaurant, you have three ways of communication, okay, in today's society. You have the phone, you have email, and you have text, okay? You have to be proficient in one or all three. So if you're going to email somebody and that's how you're going to communicate, that's the form of communication you need to work with. If you're going to be on the phone, then that's the one you'll work with. If you're going to be on text, then that's the one you'll work with. If you're just going to use one medium, be proficient in that medium that you're going to use. And you're already learning. This is what Spirit's trying to tell you. You're already learning what not to do. See, they didn't get back to you. This is a lesson for you to learn.
Right.
These are lessons right here. They're presenting them right now. The School of Hard Knocks, are you going to call back somebody when they email you? Spirit's teaching you right now. Spirit's saying, are you going to email someone back when they send you an email in a day, 2 days? See, there's already lessons playing out for you to learn. Do you follow?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because the email issue has been on their side, and I've sort of followed up several times. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, you're looking to, I mean, I know it's to benefit me too, but they're looking to sell me on something. So I'm like, this is terrible, like, to have someone sort of chase after you like that.
Right. That's what you don't want anybody to do with you. First lesson. That's your first lesson right there from Spirit. When you start to email people or people email you back, how are you going to respond back? Because remember, it's a business, so you have to respond. It's like going to a restaurant and you don't answer the phone.
You're not saying she's doing that. You're saying that this is something that you need to be aware of.
Yes.
To be successful.
Yes.
Okay. May I interject?
Sure, please.
Okay.
Yes.
So they're not trying to sell you. This is just what I'm... they're not trying to sell you. You're trying to be sold by them. And it's not for you. It's not. That is not for you and the success of your business. You might need some help, but it is not that kind of help. You've been successful before. You have to just stop and think about what has changed between the last time you started this and now. Now, I'll use myself as an example. 30 years ago, I had a really nice business. We didn't have internet. And we did everything in person and with handshakes and contracts and with reading and talking on the phone. And when I wanted, when I wanted some help, I went to the person and said, hey, I need some help. Can you help me, or do you know somebody that can help me? And, and we did business that way, and we grew. Word of mouth was important. Flyers were important. Mailing was important. All of the old-fashioned ways to do it. Now I have a business, and I'm finding that those ways just aren't proficient anymore. They're just not. So now I have to be technologically savvy, and quite frankly, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference in the way that I was successful before, and what's impeding me from being successful right now is that I do not know everything that I need to know to be successful in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have an idea, and I'm learning. And that doesn't mean I have to learn how to do all of those things, because quite frankly, I will never learn how to do all those things, but I will hire people that know how to do those things.
Yes.
And so look right there. Don't spend a whole bunch of money on being coached. You have all of this in you.
Mm-hmm.
I really am feeling very strongly about this. Like, you have everything in you already to be extremely successful, except confidence. And I think the confidence is just lacking because you're in a different world right now. And those are just tools. Instead of a Rolodex, we're looking at our business cards online, or we're looking at our business cards in our phone. And I don't know about you, but that's not easy for me. Our calendars are now, digital. And I still keep a written calendar. And so I think these are some difficult things that you're going through. Maybe not the same as mine. But along those lines, look at the difference between what was.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I've been thinking about how I want to do my strategy with social media, because it's one of those things too. I don't really it's kind of half irritating. So I've been thinking a lot lately, like, how can this be enjoyable, and like, how can I make this uniquely mine? One thing that you had mentioned, you were talking about like arrested development type of thing, and something that I haven't been able to, or that's sort of been sitting in my mind that I haven't been able to like really come to peace with, is that I have gotten success in the past. I've ran another business also. And with that said, when I was doing this and this other business in the past, I was never making enough money to like really financially support myself. And I know that everything happens at, the right time, and I was still developing myself, and maybe that was a time for me to maybe struggle or not. Whatever, I had a bunch of lessons to go through. But even with knowing that, I still can't seem to get to peace with that, to get past it. So
you're going to have to revamp yourself a little bit. It's about branding now. Today's world's about branding your business.
You don't have worth. You don't feel like you're worthy to make that kind of money.
Yeah.
And because you don't really believe in it. I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you what I'm
feeling.
Well,
I'll be honest too. You know, you have to be, it's like anything you do. You have to set goals. You have to set strategies. Like you said earlier, setting strategies, you have to have that T-square. You have to put your pros and cons, and you know, if this is where I want to be, you really truly have to ask yourself, do I really want to venture down this road? Mm-hmm. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to just relearn. And, you know, I can tell that you know what you're doing. I can feel that energetically, but you're not sure if you can portray that to people, because there's a lack mentality in the holistic business for some reason. Like, we don't have enough customers, or we don't like to share customers. Jan and I are completely opposite. We
share them all.
We share them all. We pass them along when we can't work with them, or we can't. You have to network. You have to create your own network amongst the people that you know, because there's a lot of people out there who need what you have, and you have to believe that. You have to believe that that's possible. But Spirit's just saying you're gonna have to really play the pros and cons about this, because if you truly want to do this, and like Jan says, you have to do the work.
You have to do the work. But are you getting energy work done right now?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it for years. I'm like a hardcore student. Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Are you waiting for somebody to tell you that you're the teacher now?
No, I know I am. I mean, I step into that. What happens is I will take that, quote, old path of the branding, and I branded myself a certain way. And what's been opening up lately is, you know, to use my gifts in new ways. So now it's like, oh, goodness, really? I was like so set of this is how I was introducing myself all the time. And now sort of the idea is like, well, you know, why don't you be open to what other people want from, you know, to be of service. And if somebody comes to you and says, hey, we want a mediumship, you know, reading, then say, yes, I do that. Cause you can, but you know, that's not how I've marketed myself before.
Well, let me ask you a question.
So,
if I've met you for the first time, if we met for the first time and I asked you what you did for a living, how would you answer me?
Yeah, well, now again, I don't really know how to respond to that. That's sort of been the last like week of confusion.
You're not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the only one, because in business, doesn't matter what kind of business, it used to be you had 30 seconds to introduce yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 5 to 10 seconds, maybe less than that. You have to be boom, boom, onto the point. And I know I know your talents are more than just a set of words, but that's where we're at. Technology has moved us in such a fast pace that people don't even have time to even want to listen to other people.
There's somebody that I work with very closely with, and she's an intuitive brander. And I'm going to tell you, she probably does some of the best work I've ever seen in my life. And I would love, just absolutely love to share her with you. I would love to share her with the world. Her name is April Sunset. True name, for real, birth name, Sunset. And she is such a creative artist, but very intuitive, to say the least, and one of the best marketing branders and logo branders, everything that you would ever need just by reading you. And I would just love to introduce you to her.
Yeah, and even if you want to have some coaching sessions with Jan and I, because
we do
this for a living, so we can help you out.
Right.
We're available too. So don't.
Well, I say that I say that I'm plugging her, but
I'm plugging Jan
and of course we do. You know, I mean, I do branding as well. I just have so many other things going on, but the coaching and things like that. Yeah, you can always set an appointment, you know, for things such as that.
And we can kind of look over what you're doing, what's not working, what worked before, what didn't work before. Sometimes you just need somebody to look at your stuff and just kind of give you a just look down the paper and see where you need a comma, where you needed an exclamation point, and just kind of give you an overview. Because sometimes we're in our stuff that we don't see it. And that's why it's been good for me to work with Jan, because she could see the stuff that I'm overlooking and vice versa. And that's why.
Yeah, we double check. System of checks and balances always. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we do this in business.
And when you're solo, it's hard because if any business, success business has a good team, mm-hmm. and if you're your only teammate, you're the person who has to rely on everything. So you might have to create a mastermind, a group of people
right.
who you trust, who are mm-hmm. outside of your sphere of influence, per se, or people that you trust, and say, hey, what do you think? I'm going to do this, mm-hmm. do that, without, you know, burdening them too much and feeling like they have to.
Mm-hmm.
But quick questions, you know, hey, what do you think? I'm going to do this. I want to do that. You'll be surprised what people will tell you. And then you can take, like the tools or like the grocery shopping, what's
right.
important to you, what you want to put in your toolbox, what you want to grab off the mm-hmm. shelf, because you don't need it all. You just need some things to get you motivated. You can do one thing that's really powerful, really strong, and that'll help you.
And we also, you know, there's a class that's not until, I don't know, it might not be until December or so,
mm-hmm.
but it is, you know, like the introduction to starting a business in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that that we definitely do, but I know there's not one on the calendar. I don't think until
yeah, we're
December.
Gonna do. We're actually gonna do one about regular business and metaphysical business. How you
right?
How you can actually start your business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's class coming up. So,
mm-hmm.
and for those who aren't in
okay.
the people who aren't in the local area, we'll actually be doing a teleconference.
And that
well.
Doesn't mean you have to wait until then. You know, there's
yeah.
always a private thing or coaching or things like that that you can
mm-hmm.
also, you know, subscribe to. You just have to contact us.
Well, I hope we helped you with a little bit of clarity for you.
Yeah,
there's
thank
a lot,
you.
Lot of,
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good night. And, you know, that's one thing I learned very quickly. Being in growing up in the restaurant business, growing up in the lawn care business,
mm-hmm.
property management company, there really is no difference between business. You still have to market. You still
right.
have to network. You still have to advertise. You still have to tell people what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to do all the little things. Now what's happened is, you had said earlier, everything has evolved on the computer, on the
right.
internet. Everything is high tech now. Everything's fast. You know, some people don't even pass cards out anymore because they just pass cards through their cell phones.
This
you
is
know?
Why we started a Kind Human Company.
Mm-hmm.
It is truly to bring human back to being human.
Yeah.
You know, you call somebody and you can talk to somebody. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to get licensed massage therapy. I don't know who to go to. I don't know what that is. You know. Okay, well, let's help you out. You should be able to talk to somebody without pressing 25 buttons and being on hold for 45 minutes.
You know, and I learned a lot from trying to contact that, like she did, trying to contact other businesses
yeah.
and other people. And when they don't get back to you, that's a good indication that, you know, if it pisses you off, it's going to, and it bothers you,
mm-hmm.
it's, well, you know, you do it, it's going to bother somebody else.
Because
mm-hmm. people are in need, and especially in the holistic field, people are in really desperate need sometimes to heal parts of their bodies,
sure.
their minds, their
right
spirits.
Now.
Yeah. So calling somebody back a week later.
That's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-mm.
let's take another call here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. And what's your name?
My name is Bhavana.
Bhavana, welcome to the show. How can we help you?
Thank you. Well, I'm calling to get some insight and direction on my relationship with my boyfriend, Alex.
Okay.
We've been together about 7 months. So we've gotten very close. I came back from India about a month ago. I got pretty ill at the end of my trip, and he really was there for me. And then, you know, a few weeks later, just when I was getting better, he told me that he'll be leaving the state. We live in Hawaii together, and he's going to go back home to his family's home in New Jersey in a month. And I just wonder if that means we're over, or will he return, or should I move on, or keep the door open?
Did you ask him?
Well, he doesn't know. He feels like he needs to go home and see his family and figure his life out, and he's not sure.
You know what?
Let him.
Let him go.
Let him
to
go.
Do that, because right now he's being honest with you,
mm-hmm.
saying that, because if you hold him back, or you make a decision, if he makes a decision that's not his decision, and it's kind of involving you a little bit, there's going to be some kind of resentment there, and that's the last thing you want, is create resentment and, you know, and whatever happens between there and now. If he goes back and he realizes, and sometimes it's painful to let go of things that we love and we care about and things that we fostered.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, that's what I posted on my Facebook page. Matter of fact, I'm going to share that with you. Fasting from people is also important. Okay? So it's a...
Especially toxic people.
Don't think of him leaving you. Think of him as just... you're having a period of fasting.
Right.
You know, where just... he's clearing his mind, clearing his spirit, his soul, trying to figure out things. You're both very young. This is also an opportunity for you to clear your mind, your spirit, your soul, and to realize you might go back and say, well, you know, maybe I'm happy by myself. And maybe you aren't. Maybe you both will find out, hey, we really miss each other. And then maybe he may ask you, do you want to move and be with me in New Jersey? Do you want to move and be wherever you need? So, there's going to be a lot of compromising. There's going to be a lot of questions and asking. But Jan's right. Did you ask him? Did he ask you? I think maybe he hasn't asked you. My sense may give you a little sense of.
Did she ask him? You know, are we over?
Mm-hmm.
And she said yes, she did, and he doesn't know. And so that's when I say, then let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And be okay with it. I want you to be okay with it. I understand that, you know, it hurts and you might feel very abandoned and very lost, and that's and you'll go through a grieving period. I mean, it's just natural because you know, you don't know if there's finality, but you know what, when somebody goes across the ocean, and it feels final. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
He is being very honest with you. He really doesn't know. And whatever's going on with him, he has to figure that out. And no matter what role you play with him,
mm-hmm.
whether you went with him, he still has to figure it out, whatever
mm-hmm.
that is going on with him. So your best bet is to stay where you're safe, where you're comfortable, where you know people, where you have work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever is safe and comfortable for you is where you need to be, because that's not with him. Your safe haven is not with him right now. He has to go figure out whatever he has to go figure out. No matter where you're at. So take care of you
mm-hmm.
while he's doing his work.
And this is a good time for you to learn healthy limits and boundaries too.
Mm-hmm.
What's good for you, what's not good for you. You're going to be surprised. You're going to learn a lot about yourself
mm-hmm.
when he's gone. You're going to be surprised. You're going to see a lot of unfoldings.
And stay with
well,
us.
Well,
stay with Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't. Initially, it doesn't feel good.
Mm-mm.
And I'm with you there, and I know how that feels. But trust me, you have to trust spirit. You have to trust whatever you are in alignment with, that they're going to ask you and help you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Your ancestors, you need to reach out to them, you know, and just say, hey, you know what? Just guide me on this journey, because, you know, I don't have all the answers. And you won't.
And if I may,
sure.
you can always send one of us an email. I mean, an email
mm-hmm.
or contact us online or through Facebook, whatever. And no matter where you're at in Hawaii, I'm sure that we know really great energy workers and
sure.
people that we work with there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one of my sons actually has a school there every once a quarter.
Okay.
You know, lots of good things that go on that you can receive some local help. And, of course, we do long-distance help
mm-hmm.
as well. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, just keep us around and carry us with you on your journey. We want to know what happens, because we want to be able to constantly lift you up in prayer and in love, and surround you with things that are good, good light, good love.
Yeah, and I do feel clarity will come a lot quicker,
too.
A lot sooner than you expect.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well,
mm-hmm.
thank you very much. I actually do energy and healing work myself. And
great.
My cat passed away in March of 12 years, and I moved from a beautiful home, and everything was kind of up in the air, so I went to India for 5 weeks, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue with him, but we ended up getting a lot closer when I was
mm-hmm.
gone and when I came back, and I didn't have a place to live, but I just kind of, like, put all this, like, love and light and abundance in my heart, and realized I was going from lack, and this newly built home just came up on Craigslist, like, 20 minutes
yeah.
before I looked.
And so I wrote them right away, and they, you know, they offered me the home, and I moved in about almost two weeks ago, and it's a really nice, lovely solace. So I thought, well, it's a new beginning. He's leaving, but I'm in this brand new place, and
their dog comes
with me on my front lanai, which we call a porch.
Very good.
And they're just the nicest couple who built the house.
Wonderful.
I guess that's just moving in a different direction.
Yes.
It's as hard as it is. Sometimes we need to let go of the old for the new to come in.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, thank you for calling. We really appreciate you. Keep in contact with us. Let us know what happens, okay?
Well, thank you very much.
You will.
Mm-hmm. You too. Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes
relationships can be difficult. Sometimes they can be pretty easy, but I don't know any relationship.
I haven't known any.
Any relationship that's been easy. You know, jealousy is one of the jealousy will kill a relationship.
It will, indeed.
That's probably one of the biggest things that we have to be careful with.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel good that things will work out in her favor.
Oh, I felt good about that.
I didn't feel anything weird
pop up on me.
So it's just going to be patience and time more than anything. When she starts finding the worth that she, since she was sick, she'll find the worth again in herself that she had before.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's coming
home. She's a good manifestor. You can see
Yeah.
That was nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take another caller here.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, it's Sharon. Sharon?
Sharon? Hey, how you doing?
Yes. Not too bad.
Good to hear from you.
Well, my question is on the board. I really want to know. Actually, my mother.
Something fun. What is my mother's name? Is that what you said? Myrtle or Francis? I have a couple of sisters that think our grandmother is actually my mother. It was late. Life birth, so.
So it was hidden through my mother because of the time.
So you said Myrtle or Francis, right?
Correct.
Myrtle, Francis. It's Francis. That's what I got, Francis, when I was doing it.
Okay. Just as I suspected, it's jealousy and resentment. Okay, I'm good with that. But they had in my own story.
But it's interesting that they have Myrtle there. Myrtle was a pet name, like something older people would say, come on, Myrtle, get with it. You know what I'm talking about? You heard people say that to
that was her name.
Okay, so I feel like someone's saying, you know, come on, Myrtle. I can hear that voice playing in my head. Come on, Myrtle, you know. So it's kind of interesting.
Name was Frances Myrtle.
Frances Myrtle. That's a cool name, actually.
Great name.
Yeah.
I know my aunt.
Mom was Frances K.
I love that.
Nice.
Yes. These are names from back in the hills.
Okay.
The hills.
We even have, you know, Lulabelle and things like that.
Yeah, I'm from the
hills. Yes.
Hills.
Do what?
I said I'm from the hills.
Ah, cool.
And I said I'm from the beach.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's pretty lucky to be from the hills.
Yeah. You can see the hills from the beach.
Like the woodlands. Okay. Michigan snow baby. Basically that was what I wanted to know because I wanted to be clear on that. Because I'd gotten a popcorn reading when I was in a church at one point. It's like, he's saying my mother, but that sounds like my grandmother. So I was really questioning it at that point.
Well, now you have a little more insight. But you'll always know. Whatever's in your heart, whatever you feel is on your heart, Sharon, whatever you feel that you're drawn to, that's probably the right. That's probably where it needs to go.
Have you ever looked up what Myrtle actually is?
Myrtle, I think crepe myrtle when I hear myrtle.
Right.
Which is
And have
book.
You ever looked it up and read about the properties of crepe myrtle? Myrtle?
No, I haven't. Should I?
I would, yes. Please do
okay.
that. And look at the picture of it.
Okay.
Wow.
I lived in North Carolina for a while, so I saw lots of it.
I think you will really love that.
Okay.
That just moves me when I think about that.
Okay. Wow.
Well, thanks for bringing the fun energy.
Yeah.
Well, I tried. You wanted something fun, so I tried.
Yeah,
okay.
That was good.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Back.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Work, bye.
Later.
That's cute. She's a good friend of mine.
Nice.
Yeah, we've been in Sweat Lodge together, and we've been at different events together, so it's fun to hear. I actually helped her with her car one time. It broke down. I changed her battery out for her.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's just my friend. Mm-hmm. And that was an adventure, changing out the battery.
Now let's just go back for a second.
Okay.
For those listening.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you all understand what she actually asked. What is my mother's name? Who doesn't know what their mother's name is?
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. This is 2000 and whatever it is, 18.
Right.
Who doesn't know what their mother's name is?
Sharon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's a sadness to that in a way.
Mm-hmm.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart's just like poured out for her. I'm like, wow. Wow. How do you not know your mother's name? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it does happen.
Yes, it does. It reminds me of the program that we did when I told about meeting my first cousin that I didn't know I had.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, well, how would she know what her father's name was or her grandmother's name was or her aunts and cousins' names were? You know,
right.
When you just learn who you are, where you come from. Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a sense of connection and belonging to you want to be able to know where you come from, who you are, and where you stem from, and why you're the way you are sometimes.
And she says that. She even said that to me so many times. She'll say, you know, I'm so different than my siblings, you know, and I have these mannerisms and this look, and I don't look like them. And I'm thinking, no, that's because you're from our tribe, and you look like us, and you act like us, and your mannerisms are like ours. And now that she sees it, she gets it.
I don't know.
She's like,
I'm like, because I look at my brothers and sisters, I'm going, man. And I look at my mom and dad, I'm like, geez. I'm a little good combination of my mom and dad.
You look like your mom.
Yeah, well, she's a good-looking lady, so I must be a good-looking guy. Except she doesn't have a beard.
Guy.
She doesn't have a beard.
No,
okay?
No. You're handsome, man, Iggy.
Well, thank you for noticing. I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome. More than welcome.
So we're cruising all right along here. Let's see if we have any other callers here. The switchboard is clear. All right.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. Wow, a whole bunch of different topics tonight. That was wild.
Absolutely.
You never know.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to go with the flow, even though if you don't.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take us to a little break here real quick, and then we'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. What's the name of our show again?
Revelations and Revelry.
The R&R show.
R&R. Well, that would be relaxation and what? What was that? Rest and relaxation.
Rest and
Revelations and Revelry.
She named it something that I can't even pronounce. Reverations and Reverie.
I love it. Reverie was just fun. I know. Had something fun in there.
We're talking holistic stuff today. Reverie.
Reverie and fun.
In fun. Fun.
Oh, what a beautiful voice.
Yes, I have an opera voice.
If I did that.
Oh,
that's nice. I'm impressed.
I have fun.
Wow. If I did that, then people would start typing, shut her up, Iggy.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Ave Maria.
Oh, that Catholic boy's coming out of you now.
That's another show. Well, we hope you're enjoying our show. Just give us a little like, give us a little hearts or a thumbs up. That way we can see it. That kind of gives us an indication. And if you have any questions online, because I may have missed somebody here, and it looks like we're good, and I think we're good here. So let's start winding down and start going in the direction where things we want to share.
Okay. I do want to just reach out to our listeners and let you know that we're really open to topics. You know, mm-hmm. if there's something, that you would like us to talk about, please just write in and let us know. We really love to do topics.
Mm-hmm.
And we do our research. If we don't know about something, we will research it, or we will find a guest speaker to come and talk about it. I guarantee you, we know a little bit, but we don't know much about anything or a lot about anything, but we know a little bit.
I know everything. I'm the smartest man in the world.
And I hear it for Ruby's not.
Because she's the smartest woman in the world, right?
Well,
okay.
You know,
or she's one of the smartest women. There's plenty of other smart women.
So I really love that. You know, there's always a great topic. It doesn't matter even what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have to be about energy medicine or integrative healthcare or alternative, you know,
mm-hmm.
medicine. It does just has to be whatever you want it to be. It's
and I think
good stuff.
Somebody wants us to talk about chakra sometimes. The chakra.
Oh, I would. Oh, it's one of my favorite
mm-hmm.
topics.
Yep. Those are little
we
guys.
Will do that.
They're about this tall, and they and they jump on trampolines. The chakra gang.
Little chakra gang.
Have you seen the chakras? Oh, there they are. No.
You know what? We will do that, and we will not only talk about it, but when we do the live streaming, we will also
do a chakra meditation.
Do a little.
You did a chakra meditation last night.
I did do a chakra meditation last night. We can do that again.
Chakra Khan.
That is horrible.
I'm here with you.
yeah, and chakras are nothing more than a word or a name, you know, for the energy centers, the big energy centers of mm-hmm. in our body. You know, that's a really great idea. So yes, we will do that. We'll do that next time.
Yeah, we'll do chakras next week. Chakra
I have
Khan.
A class about that.
Chakra Khan.
I have a class, an introduction.
Intro to chakras.
Yeah, fundamentals of energy medicine. Chakras.
Ruh-roh, Raggy. Chakras. We're going to do chakras.
Chakras.
And then Reiki. Yeah, we can do it all. We can actually, we actually have our own modalities too that we do. So
sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you've never been to my sage place, which is here in Columbus, Ohio, for those of you who are looking for a home to do and learn metaphysical, holistic, alternative type healings, that's what we do. We do drumming, we do firesides, we do coaching, we do healing touch, shamanic practitioners. We got a whole list of stuff. So if you're looking for a place, a base to kind of hang out and just be part of something, well, hopefully you'll choose us to hang out with and learn from. And we can learn from you as well.
Because we do have a lot of licensed medical, licensed massage therapists, and I know that we have nurses that are watching and listening, I do want to say that one of the things that I practice, which is the Healing Touch Program, it's an energy medicine. It is accredited for continuing education for nurses and doctors and LMTs.
Mm-hmm.
So that carries some really stout weight with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can there's staffs of, you know, healing touch practitioners in hospitals. So if you want information about that, just let me know. It's really good stuff. Everything that we do is different, but it's all the same. And mm-hmm. it's all healing work, you know. So you'll find what you're comfortable with, what you want to practice, what your modality, you know, what modality is a model, you know, what you want might want to practice, what calls your name. And we would like to share that with you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that my Sage Place is going to have is, we talked about this the other day, was to even do some energy work just outside in nature. We always have the fire, but put a table up, massage table up, and just do some, you know, energy mm-hmm. work right there. It'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we have a couple other.
And it's a safe place. And it's a place where you can just be yourself, just mm-hmm. relax and not worry too much about anybody. It's in Jan's house, number one, so that makes it more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Big yard, chilling, hanging.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so stuffy and corporate, and mm-hmm. which is kind of nice. It's a nice change.
It's like a bunch of friends getting together
mm-hmm.
and being just that. It's
mm-hmm.
nice. It's comfortable, and that's what we made it for. It was just for community, so that people like us had a place to call home. You know.
Yeah, we'll be doing drum circles here, and we'll mm-hmm. do the sound gathering baths here as well. In the future, as we grow, as we get bigger. But yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. But, you know.
Share and welcome. Yeah, everybody's welcome.
How do you find us? If those of you who are on Facebook, just look up My Sage Place. I think I send an invite to everybody on my group. And if not, go to iggygarcia.com. And then you
can't keep it. Well, no.
You're,
go to iggygarcia.com.
Mm-hmm. and then just join our mailing list. We have a mailing list there. And there's a calendar there of all the events that we're doing. So, yeah. I feel good about tonight. I hope you enjoyed our show. I hope you got something out of it. You got a little nugget there somewhere, you know, and there's something new in your toolbox, something that you have added to that, something that you can use, something that you can pull out and say, hey, I learned something today. And I feel better today for listening. I hope you feel better after hanging out with us.
I do too.
For these 90 minutes, in that your heart is filled with some joy and some hope and compassion and love. Because ours is, mine is, mm-hmm. being able to hear. And I'm glad to hear my friends pop up and share mm-hmm. their stories and get like that and be in that place. And you know, we're going to get together and drum some more. And we have a shamanic introduction to urban shamanism this Sunday
mm-hmm.
from 6 to 9 p.m. For those of you who would like to learn about shamanism, urban shamanism, it's an introductory class. And so if you go online, it gives you more information about that class.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a class just to take the mystery out of the word shamanism
mm-hmm.
because sometimes that's a woo-woo word that I know a lot of older people really kind of shy away from,
mm-hmm.
Sort of like the Pope, if you're not Catholic,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's just one of those, oh. But it's just a guide to help you on your journey, and we're all on one. And so I just always say, you know, a really good shaman is just your guide that helps you during this wonderful adventure that we're having here on Earth.
Yes.
And so I happen to know that he is a really excellent shaman, healing man, definitely a healer.
I'm a shy man too.
He is that. He is that. So thank you, everybody.
I really
enjoyed your presence, and I always can feel that love. So.
Always.
Know that it's given back. Blessings.
Always. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. We'll be here next Thursday. And we may have a guest. We may not. It may just be just us. But we'll be back. The Monday, I'll be on my show, Iggy Garcia Live, The Naked Shaman. Sometimes I'm naked, yes.
But we don't know it.
But, letting go. This, you know what I'm talking about. All right. Anyway, have fun, guys. Be good. Be well. And I'll talk to you soon. And we'll see you next time. Ho'oponopono, much love.
Bye, guys.
Okay.
That was fun.